There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. We are live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and hanging out today celebrating 1 year of no sales tax on precious metals. Pretty cool stuff. Can you believe before that was a law and you had to have folks that were engaged like Ron and Angelo and Nancy, the whole crew here, to get people thinking about, hey, if you're investing, if you're hedging, why are you paying sales tax on that? Well, those days are over, and to celebrate today, you're not paying sales tax on any of the stuff. So you come in here and do like Dalton just did, get a John Wick coin or an Opinel knife, and you're not paying sales tax.
Right. I just did both. Got my first Opinel knife and my first John Wick coin.
See, and then Eric just walked in here. Eric was in, and he said, oh, yeah, and then the two of y'all were talking about John Wick coins. And so, well, I'm into the stuff that comes out of Saxony in the 1600s and now the Roman Empire. I don't know my sci-fi, you know.
Well, I'm into the Dodge City coins, personally.
Yeah, and wish we could tell you all the stuff that said, okay, do this. If you're nearby, so we're here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We are in Midtown across from Little Flower. If you want to see more of these Dodge City coins, like, we can't say all the stuff that's on them.
The FCC won't allow it.
We'll get in trouble, and somebody will get their feelings hurt or whatever. But if you're a big enough gal or big enough guy to come out here and look at it in person, come check them out. They're pretty funny.
Very cool stuff. And you got to get on those John Wick movies. I mean, they're cool. Do you like shoot 'em ups?
I guess,
It's the shoot-em-up of all shoot-em-ups.
Well, okay. I mean, if it's not, like, it's a laser movie, right? Shooting lasers or shooting guns?
It's a bullets movie.
Okay, well, that's good.
No lasers.
It's not a period piece? There's nobody in England riding across the countryside?
Not at all. No footsteps on
really
the...
Really loud footsteps and very quiet dialogue?
No, not at all.
Okay, then it's probably a movie for me.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy it.
All right. Hey, by the way, it happens to be Friday, and it happens to be hour number two of Midday Mobile. That means it's time for 6.5 Stories with Dalton Norwig. This is when we hear all the things that I missed during the week.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
These are stories that I just went right through my net. The turtle excluder device in my net did not catch these stories.
The internet, it's really never lacking for stories. I mean, and of course, I have a couple of Florida stories coming up.
Goodness.
We're actually going to play a choose your own adventure, almost. Kind of.
Your own adventure, Florida man style.
I'll get to that a little bit later in 6.5 Stories, but I figured today, why not start it off, since Alabama's legislative session is ending.
Yes.
I know they have another special session later in the year, but most of the stuff they've gotten done with
over the last few weeks.
Right. And the one thing they did not pass through, the lottery.
That's right.
So I said, hey, why not start with a lottery story and show everybody in Alabama what we're missing out on?
Okay, Lotto
in the news. And this is interesting because this is something that I would do, but it is actually something that I have done. Someone in Virginia who actually won $100,000 in the lottery in Virginia wanted to play some lucky numbers and played those lucky numbers of her favorite NASCAR drivers. Those are the numbers that she used in the lottery.
3-3-3
Close.
Three,
very close.
Three.
I'll tell you the numbers here in a second, but her name, Christina LaBombard, from Ashland. And she told Virginia lottery officials
three.
After Dale.
Three.
And so she told him that she picked her numbers by picking her favorite NASCAR drivers. The number three.
Three.
The number 8.
Oh, yeah, Junior.
The number 14, number 20, and number 29. So I don't think any of these numbers that she chose, it doesn't say why she chose the numbers.
Well, other than three.
Well, you know who three is. So right. That's got to be Dale Earnhardt Sr. She chose that number for, right. Not Austin Dillon, who currently drives the car.
No, she means Earnhardt, man.
The eight had to have been for Earnhardt Jr. Mm-hmm. The 14, I've decided she loves Tony Stewart. The 14 and the 20, because he drove both of those cars.
Okay.
Half of his career was in the 14 car, half in the 20. So far we have Dale Earnhardt Jr., Tony Stewart, and the number 29 had to have been for Kevin Harvick. So she plays her favorite NASCAR numbers, 3, 8, 14, 20, and 29, and walks away with $100,000. And to celebrate, how's she going to spend that money?
She said, some Earnhardt collectible plates off eBay?
Probably. Okay. She'll probably get a Earnhardt replica car. She just says she's going to spend the money on a new vehicle. So to honor her NASCAR heroes, she's going to go out and buy a new vehicle.
So, if we would, not that people in Alabama would travel out of state to play Lotto because they can't play here, but if they did, maybe using your favorite NASCAR driver, mm-hmm. which car numbers is the way to win.
Could work. And I say this because I think almost a year ago when the Powerball, maybe it was the Mega Millions, was both of them actually at the same time up really high. And we went over to Louisiana and played the lottery there. And I played my favorite football numbers.
That's right. How'd you do?
I did not win.
Yeah, because you checked.
Spent money and did not win anything. So I thought that was a cool story regarding lottery, which we don't have in Alabama,
by
the way.
You pointed that out, by the way. So we're checking here. Session is over, and no lottery.
No lottery. Okay. All right, second story here. We head up to New Jersey. Sean, when was the last time you trapped an animal? When was the last time you goaded an animal into a trap?
Well, I mean, trapped them. I'm going to get myself in trouble because within a month.
Maybe I should. Okay, it's been recently.
In the last 4 weeks.
Well, I think the cops have a pretty good trap going here in New Jersey because they arrested this woman, 21 years old, Morgan Doran, arrested her for a DWI. They got her at a traffic stop, smelled like alcohol. So she went to jail.
Okay.
But somebody came to pick her up, 24-year-old Sebastian Rem, and you're not going to believe it, he was also drunk when he arrived.
Okay, these stories where, like, the people argue, like, somebody gets pulled over, they get arrested for DUI, and the next person moves from the passenger seat in the driver's seat, and then they're so drunk they get DUI.
Right. Yeah, okay. This is exactly what it is. So in New Jersey, and I imagine police everywhere, this is kind of a nice little trap. You get somebody for DUI at, I don't know, 10 p.m. at night, 11 p.m., right. Just wait until the next person pulls up to pick them up out of jail. More than likely, they've also been drinking. So they went ahead and got two in their trap, 21-year-old Morgan Doran, 24-year-old Sebastian Rem, and then the next person to come pick them up.
One?
No, that person was sober. They made sure that a sober person came to pick them up, but two DUIs, I guess, what's the saying? Two birds, one stone?
Something like that. Somebody stoned or something like that.
So,
but, you know, they get those stories a lot. Well, I don't know about a lot. Let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. But those stories make the news where they'll pull over somebody for DUI.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person in the passenger seat says, I'll take over from here.
Right.
And gets in there. Now, I got from friends of mine in law enforcement, I got to ask them this question. Isn't that a chance to say, you know what? Don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you're in the world of public safety, you want to keep the streets safe. You're going to arrest that person who was driving drunk who could have hurt somebody. But in the case of this, if the person suggests they're going to do it, you tell them, don't. You know what, sir or ma'am, don't.
You think
the car's going to sit right here. Y'all can get somebody to get your
I think a majority of law enforcement probably are nice enough to do that. But you know there's a few out there that are like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, come
go
on.
And
yeah,
wait until you take that out of park, and we're going to go ahead and arrest you, too. But in New Jersey, they got a double DUI there last weekend. All right, so I mentioned a couple Florida woman stories that I have.
Yes.
And what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about toilets or washing machines?
Let's go with washing machines first.
All right, we'll start with the washing
machine.
We
always save the toilets to last.
And both of these involve police also. Florida women and police were called. So with the washing machine story, you've got two of these women who got married April 11th. I mean, we're talking 6 weeks ago, two women that got married. Ashley Perkins, who's 30 years old, and her spouse, Ruth McClellan Perkins. And turns out 6 weeks into their marriage, things aren't as rosy as they probably were 6 weeks ago. So Ashley ends up getting arrested, Ashley Perkins, for reportedly attacking her spouse because her spouse accidentally put their weed in the washing machine. stashed their marijuana in the washing machine.
Were they getting
machine.
Raided or something and they put it in?
I think it was a complete accident. She put it in pants or whatever she was holding it in and put it in the washing machine. The marijuana gets ruined. And so
will that
Ashley,
ruin marijuana? I mean, does it?
I guess it ruined it. They're saying that it ruined their marijuana. And Ashley Perkins was so upset that she took a bedpost from their bed and beat her spouse with the bedpost in the head, legs, and left arm, even broke her left arm with the bedpost. Once the police got there, they said that Ruth accidentally injured herself by rolling over on the bedpost. That ended up not being true. Ashley beat her with the bedpost for washing their weed.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Round one of Florida Woman. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And a lot of fun. People coming out, hanging out, grabbing some Dewdrop hot dogs. Big thank you to Dewdrop for hooking up lunch. And big thank you to Ron, Angelo, Nancy, the whole gang at Mobile Bay Coins for hooking us up with no sales tax today. So in celebration of no sales tax, 1 year of no sales tax on precious metals. You come in here, if you're buying precious metals, obviously there's no sales tax. But if you buy Opinel knives or a piece of jewelry or any of the collectibles in here, no sales tax today. The price is listed. That's the price you pay. They're taking care of the sales tax for you on this day. And we are in the midst of 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig as we celebrate all those stories I missed. So Florida woman story number one has a domestic battery with a bedpost.
That's correct. A woman, Ashley Perkins, 30 years old, from Florida, beat her six-week-long spouse with a bedpost because she accidentally washed their marijuana in the washing machine. And so that was Florida story number one. That woman went into Santa Rosa County Jail, was let out on a $25,000 bond, and looks like her and her wife, Ruth McClellan, are getting along famously now. After they paid
some stupid tax.
Right.
Good, excellent.
But remember, before that, you got to kind of choose your own adventure. I said, do you want to talk washing machines or toilets?
Right.
So we talked washing machines. That leaves us with toilets now. And we stay in Florida for this one from the TC Palm. They wrote this article. And we have a couple roommates here. It says they're roommates. Doesn't say whether they were seeing each other. We have one woman, 58 years old, and a male who's 36 years old. Now, all of us who have had roommates,
yes,
wives, girlfriends, we've had disagreements in the past about whether the seat should be left up or down, or maybe things have been left in the toilet before, you know? And that's what we have here.
It must be Friday.
That's the problem that we have here. A 58-year-old woman who is the victim in this said that her disagreement with Trovon Patterson, 36-year-old male out of Florida, their disagreement began when Patterson, quote, refused to flush the toilet after using it. They didn't talk about what exactly he left in there. But the 58-year-old woman said she told Patterson a number of times to flush, and then that's when he started spewing expletives and spitting on her.
Seems like a natural reaction.
Of course.
Who wouldn't react
that way?
He was
a little bit upset. Then she says that she picked up a plunger, the plunger right there next to it, and began swinging it at Patterson to keep him away as he's, you know, spewing the expletives and spitting on her. So she grabs a plunger and begins swinging it at Patterson. She says that spit hit her face and her hair. And then he blamed her. I mean, we've got a full-on situation happening here in Indian River County. So he's spitting on her. She's swinging the plunger at him, but he says that he actually began spitting on her because she attacked him with a cooking pot. So we might not ever get the full truth out of this.
Right.
But we do know that the disagreement began when the 36-year-old roommate, you know, left a present in there for her. She picked up the plunger. He's spitting on her and cursing at her.
And this makes news.
This made the news. He ended up being arrested on a battery charge. So the sheriff's office there decided that the 36-year-old who apparently left something there in the bathroom, he's the one that's in trouble for this. But they did not get to finish the story. We don't know if they ever flushed that toilet. It could still be they still might have that problem.
I'm just stunk on the plunger thing. You wouldn't have to swing the plunger at me. You would just have to act like you were going to touch me with the plunger.
You
just came at me with the plunger, not swinging it, not like just the fact that the plunger could touch my skin.
Yeah, then you're
done. I would run from you.
What's really odd about this story?
I'd rather you just punch me. Yeah,
it happened a week ago, but it happened at 7:40 in the morning. So do you think they were still up from all night, from an all-night bender, or do you think this was one of those where they woke up early, getting ready to go to work?
I think it is.
And then they had this little disagreement. A 740 arrest. I imagine the Indian River County Sheriff's Office was glad to get the call on that one.
Lovely.
Just
lovely.
All kinds of fun.
So let's choose your own adventure, Florida woman style.
There you go. Now we head out to Montana for a Montana woman story. And this, I got to say, this is probably my favorite story of the week. Montana woman arrested early Monday morning after leading a Montana Highway Patrol trooper on a high-speed chase on I-90. And oh, by the way, she was naked during this chase, and she also tried to grope the trooper after he pulled her over.
This is a fantastic story. So I love Montana. I love. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I love Montana.
Okay, so this started at 2:10 a.m. about a week ago, and the court documents state that the Montana Highway Patrol trooper Brennan Plucker saw a gray sedan, only its running lights on, driving eastbound on I-90. He said he observed the driver, who we now know is 38-year-old Lisa Christine Walter. Well, he saw her drift over the lane line and into the passing lane, so he turned on his cop lights and tried to stop her there on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. That's when she began to drift over the fog line. They're right here, fog line, and onto the shoulder of the roadway. Do we call it a fog line down here? Mm-hmm. Is that what the bumpy part of the road is that's supposed to wake you up?
Rumble strip.
That's what I call it. Yeah. Something like that. So she starts driving off the side of the road going 80 miles an hour, came within inches of crashing into a passenger car that was there on the side of the shoulder. Plucker said that Walter maintained speeds of 90 to 100 miles per hour for 3 miles. Okay. Before she slammed on the brakes, came to a complete stop on the shoulder of the interstate, put her car in reverse, and began driving westbound in the eastbound lanes. That's never good.
No.
When you're going the wrong direction. Court documents say that the trooper also put his patrol car in reverse and was able to observe the driver was a woman, the only person in the vehicle, and she appeared to not be wearing a shirt. He found out later she was actually not wearing anything, completely naked. She finally came to a stop after crashing into a right-of-way fence off the interstate. Trooper Plucker approached the vehicle with his weapon drawn, ordered her to put her hands up and not move. He came up on the passenger side of the sedan and noticed she was completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
Asked her to put her hands out the driver's side window while he waited for backup to arrive. And once another trooper arrived on the scene, they asked her why she ran. She said, "I didn't run. I was chasing you. Why were you running from me?" is what this woman from Montana say. So they found a robe in the trooper's vehicle, put it on her. They were able to cover her up.
Why was there a robe in the trooper's?
Actually, the robe might have been in her vehicle.
Okay,
that's right.
Argyle silk robe in the trooper's vehicle a pipe and a
Highway Patrol.
Ascot.
They didn't just happen to have a robe. That's wrong. That's from her vehicle here, which I think all troopers should have to carry a robe with them, just in case.
You never know. Some nice terry cloth.
To wrap up this story, they got her out of the car finally. We're taking her back to their vehicle. She was robed at this point, and that's when she allegedly touched the state trooper in his genital area, they say here. So she went on the run.
And y'all question why I'm going to move to Montana one day.
Oh, and by the way, they also found a smoking device made out of a Red Bull can. Said it had some residue on it. So
you don't say.
She might have been getting into some illegal activity before the police chase.
It's very rare you think that somebody driving naked down the wrong way down the interstate would be on drugs, but once in a while it turns out. Hey, by the way, too, just a quick side note,
mm-hmm.
the history of speeding in Montana and speed limits is fascinating. They had reasonable and prudent. They used to not have daytime speed limits at all. They said you drive reasonably and prudent.
I like
and then
that.
It was in the 70s, Nixon, they had during the oil embargo, they said, well, if you keep doing that here, we're going to withhold highway funding. So Montana changed it. There was a ticket. If they busted you, it was for wasting natural resources. You'd get like a $5 ticket for wasting natural resources. If you were they had speed limit like 80 at night and unlimited during the day. I think that changed like 92, 93 out there.
That is awesome.
Yeah, you should be able to drive whatever you wanted to drive.
That is cool. I like that. I wish Alabama would revert to that. So we saw she got arrested in Montana. I'm not sure what her sentence is going to be. I mean, I know they're going to charge her for running and whatever. If they decide that's marijuana in the Red Bull. But imagine if that happened in Iran, how much trouble she'd be in. Because I've got a story here from Iran. I know we've been talking about Iran in the news a lot lately. And the Iranian police, who are notoriously strict up there in Iran, busted 30 people in a yoga class for wearing inappropriate outfits. And oh, by the way, they were in a mixed sex yoga class. You had men and women there, which is not allowed in Iran. They advertised the class on Instagram. That was probably their first mistake there, because Iranian police saw that was there. And mixed gender sports banned in Iran. You're not allowed to do anything male and female sports-wise. Masoud Soleimani, he's the deputy chief of the city's Islamic Revolutionary Court. He said that they arrested 30 people for the inappropriate outfits and that they were behaving inappropriately. I mean, we're talking about yoga class here. They were behaving inappropriately by doing yoga with men and women together in the same room.
I think just the men and women being together is inappropriate in general there, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to. He also criticized the lack of surveillance of the activities on social media in the country. So keep that in mind when you hear politicians talking about Iran, or if some politicians try to, you know, act like they're equal in their freedom as the United States, that they're busting yoga classes in Iran as we speak.
There you go. It's not one world. All right, that arrives at...
Story number 6.5. That's where I give you half of the story, or maybe a fill-in-the-blank, and you fill in the rest.
Okay.
And this one, we go all the way
My
up
answer
to...
is downward dog.
Downward dog. You might want to hear the question first before you
okay,
spit
I
the answer.
I'm just trying to show off here, downward
dog. Well, we go up to Niagara Falls, Ontario, where a man recently pled guilty to smuggling what in his luggage? One hint, he came from Russia, landed in Niagara Falls, Ontario, and now he's been fined for smuggling what in his
suitcase? From Russia into Canada.
That's correct.
From Russia. How big is Yakov Smirnoff compared to this? Is he still in Branson? I think Yakov Smirnoff was. Y'all remember Yakov Smirnoff? I love this country. That, you don't remember that?
I don't.
There are people that's a 20-year separating us. Please. Y'all remember Yakov Smirnoff?
The name sounds familiar.
Maybe he's so. What did he smuggle from Russia into Canada in a suitcase? He smuggled chinchillas.
Very, very close.
I'm close, aren't I?
It was 5,000 live medicinal leeches. And
well,
border agents say they smelled the leeches in his luggage coming from Russia to Canada.
That smells like leech right there.
You're not allowed to do that.
Although they'd be good for fish and walleye up there in Canada. That's what he's doing. All right, coming right back, we are live at Mobile Bay Coins. That is 6.5 Stories, and ladies and gentlemen, that is Dalton Norwig.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry on this Friday. Been having a great time and hanging out. Number one, it's 10%. The sales tax in Mobile is 10%, right? So in the past, you find something really cool at Mobile Bay Coins with the exclusion of precious metal. We'll get to that in a second. You find it and you get the price and then you pay 10 cents, you pay 10%. Today, not only is it no, like it is the other 364 days, no sales tax on precious metal, we're looking at stuff from, I've got some open L knives, I've got some bare bones collection knives, we've got all kind of memorabilia, all this stuff, no sales tax on this today.
None whatsoever. And I wanted to again thank you for your efforts in helping us get that law passed. So 1 year ago tomorrow is when the effective date of that law was in Alabama, where you don't have to charge sales tax. We don't have to charge sales tax. You don't have to pay it if you're buying gold or silver bullion, if you're buying U.S. coins or currency. And that was huge for the people that want to invest in gold and silver bullion.
Right.
We've talked about that over the years. Hey, I'm going to do this investment, but I'm going to get popped with a 10% penalty. That's not a good investment. Now you got a 10% that you got to recover just to break even, and that's never fun. So that got taken care of. And to celebrate that, anybody that comes by the shop, whether they want to stock up on some coin supplies or some reference materials, whether they want to buy some cool pieces of jewelry or some of these cool knives we've talked about, if Sean has left any of them by the end of the hour.
That's right. Dalton's in on the action now, too.
Yeah, so. He is. I saw that. That was pretty cool. So you can buy all those items, and we're going to eat that sales tax. So, you know, that $40 knife over there, it's going to cost you $40.
Right.
Not so, that 44 that you would have had to pay any other day of the year.
Now, this is, on this stuff, it's today only.
Correct.
Now, but year-round, like you said, on precious metals, because it made no sense. If you're buying something which is a hedge, which is
an investment,
why you're paying sales tax on it. Now, the subtlety is interesting because, like, right here in between us, you have a tray of jewelry.
Right.
Jewelry is a different thing because it's precious metal, but it's also art, right?
It's also art. There's some creativity that goes into it. So they were actually very clear on one part of the law and then very confusing on the rest of it, where they said bullion has to be at least 90% pure and sold based off of the spot prices. You and I have talked about market prices, spot prices before, where most times, most instances, you don't buy your jewelry based off of spot price. You don't walk into a jewelry shop and say,
you're not worried about what the
gold's $1,300 today, so that bracelet is now down you know, $3, right? And they look at you like you're crazy.
Right.
But we actually do price a lot of jewelry based off of the market prices because we price things a little differently than a traditional jewelry shop.
But
today, if you wanted to get that, as somebody called it earlier, the Mrs. T starter kit necklace,
we got a gold rope chain here, y'all. This is cool.
Yeah, that is a big old heavy rope, you know, heavy gold chain there. 14 karat gold, so it's 58% pure gold. Because of that, does not qualify for that traditional tax-free thing in the state of Alabama. But
today
we're celebrating it by letting people have that tax free.
So that's what's going on here. So y'all got to come out there, and we're here till 2, but people can come by
all day long.
All day long.
Yep. And they can also have a Dewdrop dog.
Yes.
So thanks to Powell over the Dewdrop.
Yes. Thank you, Powell. Those have been fantastic.
Tasty, tasty. And I think Sean's probably going to check and see if they're still just as good at the end of the show as they were at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I wouldn't want anybody to have an issue with that. A couple other things. And by the way, too, we stop by. A lot of people walking in right now. Y'all come on by. We'll hook you up with those Dewdrop dogs. Also, FM Talk 106.5 Hugger. We have other goodies for you here, and I feel pretty secure because I have some of the knives I'm interested in over inside where we're doing the show, like on the other side of the showcase here, so I can hold on to these. You handed me 2 of these. These are from Bare Bones?
Yeah, Bare Bones, and I thought it was very interesting because we were talking about you using that knife for cane if you're out duck hunting. And
a cane knife. Y'all know, like, machetes and cane knives. The cane knives are a little different than the machete.
Slightly different, but, you know, very, very focused on its use, very, very handy when you need it. And I was smiling because nowadays you have the technology. If you have the perfect spot for your duck blind, you just plug it in your GPS. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that back in the day. You know, years ago, you had to be able to navigate and figure out what had changed and what hadn't changed. But you were talking about the fact that Bare Bones actually puts the latitude and longitude on the back of the sheath. And I thought that was a really cool little touch. But beautiful design.
These
wooden
are
handles.
Beautiful.
And I sort of love the wooden handle look because of those open-L knives.
And there's a patina to the metal that...
correct. They're actually calling that a stone-washed finish. They actually tumble the blades before they do the final sharpening. They tumble it with river rock, basically, to give it sort of that hammered look, that hammered finish, and then they do the final work on it. And as a result, if you've noticed, you've been touching that, I wouldn't say fondling, because that sounds a little odd when you're fondling your knife, Sean, but you're touching that, and it doesn't have fingerprints on it.
That's
I don't know if you noticed, but now he's got to test it on on the radio here.
Yeah.
So very cool finish on that, very, very useful tool, and with the wooden handle, the sheath, just a very, very good
overall
tool.
This is really fantastic. If you're, I mean, somebody who you could use this working around the yard, you could work it on, use it on camping trips. Obviously, for a duck hunter in the marsh, this would be a perfect gift for a cane knife for cutting cane. This is a great gift idea for somebody around here. So these are, if somebody comes in, they just ask to look at the cane knife from Bare Bones?
Correct. Or just say, hey, where are the Bare Bones knives you were all talking about? And that is another one. That was one I actually gifted.
This is really cool.
I gifted one of those to my mom for Christmas last year. And I bought a spare for the shop because, you know, have to have one to show everybody. They were so, so popular, I started carrying those. And again, that is actually a Japanese gardening tool. It's called the Hori Hori.
Okay.
And if you look on the one side, it actually has little measuring marks. So if you're digging a hole to plant bulbs or tomato plants or something like that, that's what it's for. So you can cut down there. And you know how it is down here. You start to cut a hole in the ground for anything, and there's some roots and vines and stuff going along. So one whole side of that blade is serrated. So you can get down in there, sort of saw on that a little bit, cut that up, and very, very easy to use. And if somebody has gripping issues, maybe they've got arthritis, they're getting a little older, and some of the trimming shears and pruners are really difficult to use, don't have to worry about it with that sharp sawtooth edge.
Y'all, this is, so what I'm looking at, and y'all come in here, I'll put some pictures up too, but y'all come in here and look at this. So you take a garden trowel, okay, that same design, one side of this blade is concave, like a garden trowel, right? So you have this, on the other side, you have that, like Angelo described, a serrated blade for cutting roots or cutting whatever tree limbs, and then you have a sharp blade on one side and a nook out, almost looks like a gut hook would be on a skinning knife, but this could be used to actually trim small limbs and all this. This is fantastic for somebody who wants to have one device. Like you said, if you're out there planting, trying to do trimming at the same time, this is a Hori Hori is the name of it?
Correct. I think I got a good picture there. I'll try to post that on our Facebook page. Now, I don't like the look on your face. That's much better there. You had that baffled look there for a second.
Let's show them the other side. Let's do two pictures because they need to see how it's...
And it's very cool because it's a useful tool
of Mobile Bay Coins.
And something that I have done when I was gardening and used one of those cheapy trowels, you dig, you bend, you break the handle, you bend it, you get frustrated, and then it's flung across the yard somewhere. I don't know if you ever have tantrums like that. I used to when I was younger.
You got to control yourself, Angela.
Yeah. Well, that, I'd be afraid to throw that because I might, spike it through my shed or something.
It's really, really nice.
That's a rugged tool.
And it's... I'm one of these people that I like to give knives of different sorts as gifts. I think they make good gifts. We have superstitions, so I always tape a penny on top of the knife because you don't give a knife without a coin. Or if you do, you cut the friendship. That's the old superstition. But these are, usually I'll buy the Opinels and something that's more like a pocket kind of knife. But these are gardening knives, and I think, I bought some of these for my mother before from the Opinels. This Bare Bones line, this is really good looking. Somebody in your neighborhood, you're going to a party, some friend that does a lot of gardening and yard work. That's a knockout gift.
Well, those Opinel gardening knives are great for people that are doing more like house plants and light gardening. Maybe they're doing pruning on tomato plants, things like that. But it's a lightweight utility knife and very convenient. You can slip it into your pocket. This is for somebody that's doing more yard work.
Yes.
They're really getting into the yard. They're planting larger plants. They're pruning. They're doing you want a really sturdy tool. If you're getting down and dirty in the yard, it's going to be an awesome one for you.
All right. These are. Every time I come in here, there's like a new line of knives you have in here in addition to the ones you've had before.
I do have a problem.
Yeah,
I love my knives.
That's good. They come in, they just ask to look at the Bare Bones knives.
The Bare Bones knives, we've got them right there in the case. So we've got the normal knife case that we sort of expanded a little bit, and then the new roll-around Opinel display that I showed you when you first walked in.
And some additional Opinels that I hadn't seen, some different models, some in-between sizes between what was the standard Opinel and some of the micros. There seems to be a size in between those now.
Right. We've got all of those sizes in stock now, from the number 2 all the way up to the number 12. We've also added there's a corkscrew knife that they have. So you've got the normal number 8 Opinel pocket knife, but it's also got a corkscrew in there. So if you want to...
Perfect. You use a knife to cut the foil on the wine, and then you have the corkscrew.
There you go. So a handy little tool for that. And we finally got those shellfish knives back in stock from Opinel. And that's one that most people...
For popping oysters, y'all, these things are fantastic.
A folding oyster knife. Who would have known? And they hold up like nobody's business.
Yeah, this is neat. So I got one of these a couple years ago, so it's it folds the way the other Opinels do, y'all. It's like a pocket knife, but then with that patented action, you can open up and lock it down and use it to pop oysters, and it's really neat. And it looks good, and these are great gifts for people to buy for themselves. These are really, I keep going back to this, I buy, and as God is my witness, you'll see me do it again today, I buy a couple extra of all this stuff to have on hand when I forget that, we got to go. It's so-and-so's birthday or so-and-so's graduation or whatever. I have a gift.
It's one of those things that you've taught me, and it's been sort of funny as this has evolved over time with you and I and our friendship here, is that before I knew that Christmas Eve and Mother's Day Eve, any Eve, I was going to see Sean about an hour before closing.
That's right.
He was going to be in. You'd text me ahead of time and tell me.
Here's what I need. We'd
have some stuff ready for you. But you've learned over time, man, there's some things that are classics.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get an Opinel number 8 pocket knife. You could get half a dozen of those. You can get some American Eagles, or maybe not the John Wick coins, because that's a little more focused, but an American Eagle or some of these other cool coins that we have in stock. You just buy 4 or 5 of those, shove them in your desk drawer, and at any instant, you've got a cool gift for somebody, and it didn't cost you a ton, and you're actually ready and prepared, and most people have never seen those Opinels or some of these other coins.
Yeah, trust me, y'all. So come by, and if you're going to decide to do this, today's the day to do it, because you're not going to pay sales tax on them.
How cool is that?
Pretty perfect. That's why I'm going to get my stack of stuff going here and get ready to check out. I'll tell you what, too. The next person stops on by and says they want to take a look at... You don't even have to want to take a look at knives with Angela and I, but it'd be cool if you did. I've got a copy of the Old Mobile Trivia book here, Facts, Trivia, and Stories about Alabama's Port City. I have this copy waiting for you if you are the next person walking the door here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And you said you put the pictures are going up on the Facebook page.
I just posted them on Facebook, so like and follow Mobile Bay Coins there.
All right. And see, good. I see some responses here that I'm not the only one that remembers Yakov Smirnoff. So, by the way, so Gakov Smirnoff in the news. Well,
isn't he in Branson now?
Yeah. See what I said? That's exactly what I said. He's in Branson. All right. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Last time we were talking about these faulty earplugs from 3M. And you said, hey, hold on. I'll come back because I got an event to go to in Washington. And this was a hearing in Washington, a MDL hearing.
Yes, we attended a hearing in Washington, D.C. at the federal court there. And there's a panel of judges, and they consolidated and sent the 3M earplug cases down to the federal court system in Pensacola under a judge there named Casey Rogers, a lady judge.
And I'm going to hit rewind for a second, though. If people didn't hear us talk about it last time, this all stems from issuance of earplugs that people in the military, this was the general issue, right? These earplugs.
Yes. From 2003 to 2015, 3M and another company that they bought out called Aero Technologies supplied the military with these defective earplugs, and it caused hearing loss for the troops that were wearing those earplugs.
Okay, so these were the earplugs, not that the troops chose to use. This is what they were issued. And you, as a Marine, as a veteran, I know this quite well, that you don't get to choose your boots. You don't get to choose your helmet. You don't get to choose your earplugs.
Right. You may not like what's issued to you, but that's what you have to wear. And you can either wear it and be a regular soldier or Marine, or you can do push-ups and get thrashed around and get sent to the brig or whatever happens. But yes, if you're issued something, you have to wear it.
All right. So since last time we talked, you were on the forefront of this, y'all, with Taylor Martino, right at the beginning of it. People by now may have heard some of the news accounts of this. Let's kind of go through some of the things that are known. So 3M has agreed, right, that these were faulty earplugs.
Yes. So last summer, 3M was sued by the federal government in a whistleblower lawsuit. And what that is where any entity or company defrauds the government can sue that company for that fraud. And so 3M was sued, and then in October, November, they settled that lawsuit very quickly. Now, obviously, they don't admit that they're at fault if they settle, but why else would you pay $9.1 million if you did not defraud the government?
So as people hear this, and it may affect them or a loved one with hearing loss that was issued these earplugs, The question of whether the feds believe this was faulty or not, that's already been answered.
Correct. I mean, the documents are out there, and there's a lot more to discover. As a matter of fact, a couple of the things that I would say infuriate me is apparently two of the key governmental players in purchasing and supposedly testing these earplugs. They soon after the contract was made with 3M, they went to work for 3M making large salaries. And so I think there is an element of corruption that could possibly be there. And I certainly want to find out, and other lawyers involved, we want to find out, how and why that happened.
This is a lot of people that could be affected. You're talking about over a decade, 12 years here, right? So 2003 to 2015, this was the issued earplug.
Yes. I mean, you're talking about the basis of the military is to use arms to defend our country. So the essential function of the military is going to be loud noises out there. And so you would hope that the earplugs that are sold to the government work. And these earplugs did not work. And 3M and Aero Technology knew they didn't work, but they just ignored that. It's pure corporate profit over the safety of our servicemen.
And if you're hearing this right now, or you have a loved one, once again, 03 to 2015, it's a lot of people affected by this. Now, so I did the review, but I want to come back to what I started with. So you're back from Washington, you went to the hearing, and now you mentioned this is set in federal court in Pensacola. Is this one of many courts that's doing this, or is this where this moves to?
It's a sort of a technical federal procedural tool where if you have something that happens to a large number of people over the whole country, the federal court system doesn't want separate cases being tried all over the country, because then you're going to get all kinds of rulings on all of these, you know, common issues. So what they do, it's called multi-district litigation, is they consolidate for pretrial purposes all of the cases under one judge. And so for pretrial purposes, all of these cases have been sent to Judge Casey Rogers, the Northern District of Florida, right here in Pensacola in our backyard.
Wow. Okay. So then the next question, because this is federal, it doesn't matter that it's in Florida. This doesn't mean just for Florida people or just for Alabama people. This is going to be for, right, service members from all 50 states.
Yes. I mean, we're representing people from just about every state in the country. I mean, they're all over. You know, if you're in the military, one of the cool and unique things about being in the military is just interacting with people from all over, from all walks of life. You know, when you start off, they all have a shaved head in the Marines. Mm-hmm. They all have the same camouflage. There could be, you know, a guy from Brooklyn sleeping next to and fighting next to a guy from backwoods Alabama like myself. So it's really cool. I remember one guy from Brooklyn, I was in the Marines. He didn't know that you have to put bug spray on when you go out in the woods, and he had 26 ticks on his body. So we taught him about putting bug spray on. You know about that, Sean, right?
That's right. That's right. This is okay. So if there was ever something you were born to do, Ed, I mean, seriously, an attorney, but a Marine, this is the case.
Yeah. I mean, the Marines taught me so much, you know, in my life, and just never to give up, never to stop, never quit. You know, the patriotism that goes along with that, and serving my country was fantastic experience for me. But so I love helping vets however I can and in any situation. And when I get to help vets in a legal context, I just love it. I mean, I'm fired up about it. I understand their individual issues, having been there. And so having an opportunity where so many vets were taken advantage of and harmed, their hearing was harmed because of a greedy corporation, I'm very, very excited in pursuing this litigation. And we're handling every case from beginning to end. We're going to help prosecute the civil litigation. We're going to be hands-on every day, helping with every aspect of this case until it ends.
You speak the language for sure. So somebody hearing us right now, or themselves or a loved one or a friend that is in this window of time, let's talk about how they get on the phone, come to see y'all, get a meeting with a fellow veteran to discuss this.
I would just say Google us at Taylor Martino Law Firm, Mobile, Alabama, and you will certainly find our website, and you can find our number and give me a call. You know, we've got Amanda Summerlin, who's our dedicated, what we call a mass torts lawyer. That's all she does, 100%. And then we've got three paralegals that are dedicated to this case as well. So call us, and if available, I'd love to talk with you, or anybody else can talk with you there as well.
Very good. Ed, thank you as always for the update. Thanks for your time. Thanks for what you're doing.
Great to be here, Sean. Thank you.
All right. Ed Browning with Taylor Martino.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.